Can you briefly describe the local group that went to Frankfort, who and what communities were represented in this trip?
The Chamber of Commerce in Murray and Callaway County took 27 various community leaders to an inaugural event that we held on February 15th called Callaway to the Capitol. And we had a cross-section of individuals attend representing Murray State, education, obviously representing small business, large industry, government sector, and the nonprofit sector, all interested to know kind of some big issues happening at the state level that could impact both negatively and positively Murray and Callaway County, but more importantly, to continue to grow and build those relationships that are so crucial in getting anything done in Frankfort.
Was there a collective effort in initiatives or concerns that you were looking to address in Frankfort? And what, in your opinion, are some of the issues in our region that may be unique to the region that you were hoping would garner attention?
Sure. So for us, we worked with the Paducah Chamber and the Owensboro Chamber to hold a joint luncheon. We had Governor Bevin as a speaker. He talked a lot about economic development. He really empathized with the West Kentucky culture of feeling a little left out sometimes in Frankfort. And so he understood the assets that we have in our community. He recognized Murray State as one of those assets, but also understood that our transportation network is a big asset that we have. So Interstate 69 got a lot of attention during his talk, as well as 641 South becoming a four-lane widened road. Got attention mainly because it sits right in between Interstate 40 and I-69. So those are the main sort of regional topics. But the biggest outcome I think that the governor really hit on at the luncheon along with us is West Kentucky is talking with a voice together. We may have different priorities and different functions, but you know, we're getting folks together to go talk collectively to West Kentucky legislators, to others who are going to be voting and advocating for or against certain pieces of legislation. So that regional approach has its strengths. It does have its complexities. But what I've noticed is one of the key pieces or a couple of key pieces that have helped us get together, Murray State has been one of those, mainly because of the alumni network. But then also the Chambers of Commerce are now, even more so than before, working together and trying to push for regional conversations, regional impact, and representing not only the counties that our various chambers serve, but more importantly, the idea of economic prosperity, and more than just being resilient, but being prosperous at the same time.
I've heard a lot of conversation about regional collaboratives, regional partnerships, maybe the Murray Chamber partnering with the Paducah Area Chamber. What's the next step there? Like, how do you go about doing something collaborative in a tangible way?
Sure. So that work actually has been done for probably 5-6 years now. There's the West Kentucky Regional Chamber Alliance, and that's a formal group with, I want to say, at least 10, maybe 12 chambers of commerce that are involved in it. Murray has been involved in it since the beginning, as well as Paducah and Hopkinsville, and then every other smaller and equal-sized chamber in between. So that's one of the major initiatives that occurred 5-6 years ago that got those groups collectively talking about regional initiatives. Interstate 69 was the number one priority along that list, and now that group is beginning to look at other big pieces to advocate for or to at least educate communities on, be it the lock and dam efforts, be it other efforts through, you know, Murray State University as a regional employer, but also a regional economic engine. Those are the kind of conversations that the West Kentucky Regional Chamber Alliance has, and it's got support from Murray State. It's got support from other entities, including Chambers of Commerce, to elevate some of those conversations and, more importantly, get the region together.
I do get the sense that the region is sort of primed to grow through a lot of those efforts. I've also heard a lot of attention on STEM education and technical training for the region as well. Is that something that the chambers are involved in, and how do you address those needs?
Sure. So the how of that is the complex and multi-million dollar answer that I think everyone's searching for. I know in Frankfort and through others in that area have talked about the number one issue in Kentucky is workforce development, along with the pension. I mean, you can go in a million different directions with issues, but workforce development and workforce education has risen to the top for a lot of groups. So how does Murray State University and other entities that are in that world begin to develop that and grow that. I know just from firsthand experience, engineering is becoming a major focus for this administration. Governor Bevin spoke a great deal about how does Kentucky become known for engineering, and how do we become known just as California is known for Silicon Valley and the tech industry? How do we get known for that? And so I think that has kind of pushed people to rethink a little bit about workforce development. I think you have to have a split of both. I think you have to have a 50-50 approach. College, in a general sense, is not just to train the next workforce. It is where you go learn and grow and become an adult, become a person that's a critical thinker at the same time. So I think there's a delicate balance that you have to play between the two. I'm a product of that, in both the sense of being a double graduate from Murray State, but also understanding the hard skills that you need to go out and be employable, and the soft skills at the same time that help you grow as a manager and a leader. So there is no easy answer on that. But I do know when we took our trip to Frankfurt, Dr. Tony Brannon and his group specifically met with Secretary Hal Heiner on education and obviously workforce development and the dual credit programs that Murray State has. How can we elevate what agriculture is doing with its technology advances, but also with our agriculture efforts through the Hudson School of Ag here on the campus of Murray State? But more importantly, what is the future of this workforce initiative looking like? And is it just training the next workforce, or is there a combination of the two? And what does that mean for Murray and Callaway County, and more specifically for Murray State University?
And to further on that, what kind of training are we talking about? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about revitalizing Kentucky's coal industry. There's also been talk, well, the coal industry can't possibly be revitalized, so let's focus on alternative energy. Let's focus on manufacturing, or, you know, the river industry. I mean, what skills are we talking about developing in the region? Where's the potential for standing out in Kentucky?
Sure. So that's a heavy question. And I think there's a lot smarter people that'll be able to answer better than I would. An example would be the coding program that's happening in Eastern Kentucky. I got to meet the owner, president, I don't know the specific title, of an organization that is doing that in Eastern Kentucky. And he wants to get involved in Western Kentucky. Obviously, our coal industry is a lot different than Eastern Kentucky. We still have a little bit of that. But the concept is, I think, pretty novel. How do you train someone very quickly in 6, maybe 8 weeks to do a skill that's highly demanded right now in the industry, or at least in the workforce? And so that translation, I think, is there. I know the Kentucky FAME program has become a pretty hot topic for some companies, specifically in Callaway County, because they are needing and anxiously wanting and scratching to find talent that can take over this age gap that's occurring within some of the workforce that's there. And, you know, it takes a long time. Just like it takes 4 years to get a college degree, it takes a while to get trained on some specific equipment and other things that occur within these industries. So those type of programs are getting attention. They're also getting resources. We'll hear from the Kentucky FRAME, at least West Kentucky chapter group, at our next Business at Breakfast for the Chamber. But what companies are in our communities that are looking for that, and how do we attract talent both from out of state or in state, or get people to begin to look at those careers? Because the day of industry being dark, dungeon, dirty is long gone. It's a new type of economy, and especially with companies now focusing on that workforce development, you can do exactly what you want to do and be aspirational and have a good quality of life by working in various industries, specifically in West Kentucky.
I think it's interesting, the concept that industry of the 21st century is computing skills and sort of computer engineering and that sort of thing. Do you find that there are opportunities in the local business community where there are jobs available? There's just not the level of training that people might need to have those jobs, to fill those positions?
I think it's a combination of both. I think there are some jobs that are out there in our local community. There's a quiet talent war going on in Murray and Callaway County specifically. People are finding and wanting to find those people that are going to take over their companies, be the next manager, VP, president, whatever they may be. They're beginning to figure out succession planning is pretty important right now for them. So on the flip side of that, I do think there's an area of opportunity to begin to look at what types of businesses, what is the market makeup of our businesses that have specific areas of interest that are tied to those demanded workforce areas, like computing, like coding, other things But then begs the question of infrastructure. You know, what type of internet capabilities do we have? Do we have the infrastructure needs that are demanded by, you know, up-and-coming workforce folks? And what does that investment look like? What does the return look like if it's actual government dollars or taxpayer dollars? How does our local community get involved in that? I do know that there's a significant investment from the state to identify $100 million worth of projects that are focused on workforce development and encourage high schools to work with post-secondary to also work with the business community. Our region or West Kentucky was awarded some of those monies. So that elevation of those kind of concepts are happening as we speak.
WKCTC and the Paducah Public School System got several million dollars. Is that something that's specific to the Paducah area, or will the whole region sort of see and get involved in those efforts?
I believe the region will. I mean, you got to start somewhere, and you got to have, you know, a champion of it and convene some of those resources and individuals to get together. But what Paducah wins, we also win, and what Hoptown wins, we win as well. So the whole concept of the rising tide rises all ships obviously comes to mind, but I always add the caveat that are seaworthy. And I think what we're seeing now is organizations, individuals, community leaders start asking the question, are we seaworthy? And let's rise the tide, but we don't want to sink at the same time. So communities are beginning to understand, how are they ready for the next phase of workforce? We're not going to be the next Nashville. That's not our goal, and that's not the region's goal. But what we want to do is to look at recruiting and retaining talent, whether it's a young professional or it's someone that wants to begin their family here. And there's infrastructure, there's quality of living, there's quality of place that is beginning to grow and help not only us but others do exactly that.
Yeah, just keeping on the sea metaphor, I think of like shipping channels and lanes. Perhaps the shipping lane of the 21st century is the internet. In the 2016 public policy survey that the Murray-Callaway County Chamber put out, one of the issues was growing high-speed internet infrastructure in the county. Was this discussed at the meeting in Frankfort, and what are the obstacles there in moving that forward?
Sure. It was highlighted. I mean, it wasn't the main focus of our meeting, mainly because that's almost a local issue to a degree. But for us, yes, it is an issue. And it's not just how quickly I can buy something online. It's the transmission of information and the sharing of that information. So when a hospital or a healthcare provider needs to send an x-ray image to another doctor, how long does that take? That can become an issue if we don't have the internet speed that we need. And so right now there are pockets within the community that get good enough internet speed. But if we want to be a community of the future, so to speak, and bring in those companies that want that kind of access, then what do we do and how do we elevate that conversation? And not to pick on a group or say, hey, we're not good enough or you are doing something wrong, but what do we need to do? How do we need to invest in these type of infrastructure needs? Very similar to the fiber project that occurred years ago out in our county and other parts of the region that are very rural. You can get faster internet in the county and in some places than you can in some cities. And so for us, we want to even that playing field, but also raise the importance of infrastructure and understanding that those things matter. Now, it may not be the number one priority for a company moving in, or the number two or the number three, but at some point they will want to know that, and they will want to know how that impacts their ability to get work done. Because if it's double the amount of time, they may look at other places, or they may reposition their business to move somewhere else. And we don't want that to happen here, Paducah, anywhere else. We want people to be able to understand that they're going to be successful in West Kentucky.
What does it take to radically improve or update the broadband internet infrastructure? Is it private industry? Is it state investment? Why not just do it tomorrow?
That's the hard question to answer. You've seen public-private partnerships in other communities, not necessarily in Kentucky, but in other states. You've seen infrastructure that has been brought in by private companies to build out some of those things. So it can be a combination of both. I think right now for us, writing a check to get it done is not necessarily what needs to happen. I think an idea of where we want to go and why is the first step. And then dollar amounts that go with it. Are there federal monies that we can leverage? Are there state monies that are possibly hanging around that could help us do that? Doubtful, but something to look at. But then what do we put skin in the game on for this? I mean, how do we, you know, say this is a priority for the city of Murray, for Callaway County? We want to be here within 2 years, within 5 years, creating those benchmarks and getting people who know way more about it than I do to sit down and say, is this doable and is this feasible? And we've got several advocacy committee and board members who are in that world and understand it as a need and a priority. It doesn't mean we just want to play games online faster. It means we want to figure out how we can increase that speed so the transaction of information in business can go even faster.
Soft skills training, that's reliability, professionalism, and that's something that has been identified in your policy survey as being needed. How can a chamber or legislators invest in and improve soft skills training?
That's a very difficult area that I think is a lot of gray matter, so to speak. Just a baseline that most employers want. How do you interact with people? Do you have the soft skills? And that's going to range depending on what type of industry you're in. But it's the idea that your job and your career is important. So you show up on time, you are professional, you take things to and from work, leave them at work at some times. But for us, we don't have the magic pill on that, but I could speak to it because I'm a product of it. Those soft skills that I have now that are good enough to allow me to do my job, I developed at Murray State. I developed in the organizational communication department through being awkward, not having the skills at the time, and having those conversations, those experiences, those classes that developed that was helpful. And I think their department and that department specifically is beginning to see that as a huge opportunity, and not just to train somebody on how to do a job, but how to finesse that aspect, how to lead people, how to manage people, how to grow teams, but also what does it mean to show up and present yourself at work. I mean, I'm wearing a suit and tie right now, and that's just the normal attire that I wear, but is this applicable to every industry and segment? Probably not. But wearing shorts and a t-shirt probably isn't what I would wear to work. So if I showed up in that aspect or didn't dress accordingly, what does that say and what does that communicate? Indifferent. I mean, it may have no effect on a person, but it does. And it's first impressions. It's also a sign of, honestly, in my opinion, a sign of what focus a person has when they go to work. Speaking on just a personal opinion, for me, organizational communication was my path into those soft skills, unintentionally on my part, but like I said, very intentionally on their part.
I know that there is a lot of concern, especially in the campus community, about maybe a disinvestment in public higher education. Was that discussed in Frankfort? I know Murray State President Bob Davies went there, and he's obviously an advocate for Murray State and the merits of these soft skills. We've discussed this in past conversations. Is an investment in public higher education something that you feel that various chambers in the region and in the state are supportive of?
Yes, I think so. And I'm only going to speak for the Murray-Callaway County Chamber. I can't speak for everybody or the state chamber or anybody in between, but I do feel like Murray State is an economic driver. It is. I mean, we were in the Wall Street Journal because of Murray State and economic resiliency and the fact that Murray State is this economic floor that we have that prevents a lot of issues from happening and creates a lot of other successes. I think what you're seeing now is a battle for the soul of higher education in communities, and it's a race to relevancy, it's a race to significance, it's understanding what those impacts are. Like I said, I'm a double product of Murray State University, so I definitely bleed blue and gold. But at the same time, people are beginning to look at return on investment, be it right, wrong, or indifferent. And especially given the state pension issues, there are some major decisions that are going to have to happen over the next couple of years. That doesn't make higher ed more important or less important. It just makes it a part of the conversation with all these things on the table. So I'm not involved in politics. I like policy. And so for me, that's what we look at, and how does that impact and create opportunities for new students, more students at Murray State, because Murray State drives some of the economy that's here in Callaway County. So yeah, we're protective of that funding. We want to make sure that it is the place that I know I graduated from, and it still is today, and it's even beyond that in the future. But how we get there and how the conversations happen are pretty interesting. I mean, we had, I think, three different Murray State officials. Obviously, Dr. Davies was a part of that. Dr. Tony Brannon was involved in our conversations. Carol Brunn from Town & Gown, as well as Chris Wooldridge from the Small Business Development Center. So we took a cross-section of people. We had academics, we had legislation, and we also had small business development and community support. So the idea that Murray State was and is a big part of our conversation, I hope resonated not only with the meetings that we had in Frankfort, but also to our local folks. That's the main reason I'm in Murray, Kentucky, and my entire family is here. They moved from Kinston, North Carolina back in 2002 because of Murray and Murray State. So I can tell that story to a new student walking in our office or to a faculty member potentially looking to interview here, or as people come into our office frequently, tell us about Murray and Murray, Kentucky, or Murray State, or anything in between. So it's an interesting time, and I say that with being at a Chamber of Commerce and seeing the economic differences that we have compared to other communities. And we have done, I hope, a good enough job to help Murray State remain in that conversation when it comes to elevating the support that they have from our organization, but understanding the issues that are going to impact them. And I mean, we don't pretend to be the subject matter experts on anything, but I do know that we have been involved in the conversation with Murray State for a while.
Another big infrastructure issue that was mentioned in the policy survey was 641 South widening that. I understand that there was a budget for that. It's been paused. What's the pulse on this effort in Frankfort and locally?
Sure. So the Pause 50 program was a point of discussion while we were there. We met with the chief of staff for the transportation cabinet, Asa James Swan. We ended up having a wonderful conversation with him. He's a young professional, highly passionate, very energetic, extremely smart, and helped us understand what his approach has been over the last couple of years, being in this administration specifically. But they're working on a prioritization model, which takes into account different areas of focus and criteria when developing projects. So for us, 641 South is the number one priority across the chamber, across the Economic Development Corporation, the City of Murray, Callaway County Fiscal Court, Purchase Area Ad District. So those things add value, but they look at, is it a safety concern? Is it a congestion issue? Will it focus on economic development? Will it be something that is an asset management issue? Or how is it this a cost benefit to the state, to the local area? They take all those things into factor based on percentages. And it's kind of like a grant application. Here's why 641 is number 7 on the statewide list because of these areas of return on that investment. And I think what they are trying to do, and they being ASA, is pull out the politics as much as possible from projects and put it on priorities based around data and facts. So that way, presentation can be made based on need, demand, and want. Not just who you know, how you know them, and what you can do to get it done. So for us, it was learning that process and then understanding his role and what he's doing to really shift the culture within the transportation cabinet, because he focused a lot on that culture shift to celebrate the wins, but also to give the control and the flexibility to his people to go out and make some pretty big decisions and report those back. So it's been helpful for us to talk with him and to visit. 641 is the most important economic driver right now for us to advocate for, and it's expensive. And there are other projects out there just as worthy potentially to compete for in other parts of the state. How we address it, how we look at it, what skin in the game do we provide as a community are all things that are being discussed right now. And so the funding that Representative Kenny Imes has talked about is SPP, which is a designation. It's protected money. It's true money, in his words. And so that money has been allocated for a small portion of 641 South. The remaining portion, which goes all the way to Hazel, is what we are trying to find and what we are needing to build an advocacy statement around those five criteria areas: safety, congestion, economic development, asset management, and lastly, cost-benefit analysis, or the bang for the buck. Where is this going to help the state, but also help the local economy?
You mentioned that it was expensive. How expensive is it?
I mean, it's in the millions of dollars. So yeah, it depends on, you know, how the project is constructed and done. But we're talking millions and millions of dollars to basically make 6 to 8 miles worth of road, mm-hmm. 4 lanes. And you can, you know, make a case for safety. You can make a case for all these other things. But all that put into context and then put into a dollar figure, is the case for support. Mm. And that's what we learned very quickly is the route that the Transportation Cabinet is going to go when it comes to funding projects. And it won't be easy, but it will help them alleviate some of the political aspects that are involved in that. And this is something that will begin to take shape over the next little bit if it hasn't even been done already.
Is it a priority in the state level?
It's number one across those organizations I mentioned earlier. And one of the biggest points that has helped us is the Purchase Area Development District placed it as number one in their priority projects for the region, for the purchase area. So that automatically gets it higher on that list. And so when the region says, yeah, this is very important because it creates access to I-40 from Memphis, but it also creates access to Interstate 69, which is literally being built right now. How we articulate and how the community articulates those criteria are what will elevate it higher.
Is 641 South expansion higher up on the priority list than I-69?
Yes, it is, because it's a local project. Interstate 69 is obviously a federal project with state pushing at the same time. The bridge in Evansville to Henderson aspect is something that I know Governor Bevin spoke about at lunch, but 641 was the PAT office's number one priority project.
Is there a timeline on 641 South? I know Kenny Imes has said 2021. Mayor Jack Rose has said, well, I don't want to commit to a timeline. So is there one?
It sounds like there is and there isn't at the same time. I think being cautiously optimistic is the approach that we take. Administrations change, leadership changes, priorities change based on that. So if this criteria gets put in place, that doesn't necessarily have too much influence on it. So the 2021 timeframe is a point and a goal. If this criteria aspect is put into place, that protects it a lot more. If it's not, which I don't feel like it will not happen, I feel like it will based on our conversation with ASA, it is something that could be at risk. So for us, the criteria is what makes it more of a data-driven decision versus relationship and political decision.
Most of the meetings here on the agenda were like cabinet agencies, education, workforce development, transportation, economic development, agriculture, and then AT&T of Kentucky. Why was that part of the agenda?
Sure. So two things. One, they were our sponsor. So they were our main sponsor and helped us, frankly, make the trip happen. Secondly, to talk a little bit about what they're working through. Some of that is workforce related, on how they can help infrastructure grow and do some things that they're doing, specifically, you know, producing tech-oriented folks, whether it's telecommunications systems management, it's our engineers, whatever kind of in between you can find. But they also talked a little bit about telecom reform and what that means for growth, not just for AT&T, but for Verizon and everybody in between on some of the infrastructure needs that we have. So that was the main reason why AT&T of Kentucky was on there. And they're very engaged with Chambers of Commerce to understand local community issues. And Hood Harris, who's the president of it, spoke to the group. And he's a big advocate for young professionals, extremely big advocate for it. And so I think he saw the value in what we're doing at the young professional level here in Murray. But over the last 2.5 years, three major young professionals groups have started in Paducah, in Hopkinsville, and in Murray. So the idea and the attention being paid to young professionals is very important to AT&T, who has pretty significant investment in iPhones and every other device that is out there. So that was the main focus, and to put names and faces together with one of the biggest organizations in the state with our group from Callaway.
When it comes to agriculture, there seems to be a lot of buzz on the increase in hemp crop in the region and in Kentucky in general. There's also a lot of technology being infused into the agriculture world now. Is the agriculture industry in the region in Callaway County and in Jackson Purchase something that is poised to grow? And can new players enter this?
For us, the goal in going to Frankfort and discussing some of those ag issues, we met with Commissioner Ryan Quarles. Agriculture in Callaway County is the third largest economic engine or driver, right behind home sales and right behind auto sales. Agriculture is right there. And so it has huge ripple effects when we have a terrible rain season or we have a great season for farmers. And so when we had Alan Bisan, who's with Hudson Agriculture, a board member at the chamber, engaging in conversation with him, but also with others that were attending on what is going on in farm sales with equipment. or how do we look at ag technology? And so Joe Ben Bogle, who is our advocacy chair, talked a lot about the infrastructure needs, but also his company and his business is very geared towards technology and how to help farmers get more with less, whether it's a crop or whether it's, you know, managing crops. So the idea for us to engage in that was pretty simple. Agriculture is very important in the Callaway County economy, and especially given our small farm nature, as Commissioner Quarles put it, the average acreage in Kentucky is 160, whereas the national average is about 400. So it's a very different scale, but it means that our farmers are very focused on quality, very focused on doing something at a smaller scale, which is a good opportunity for us to do the things that you mentioned before, especially with Dr. Brandon and his efforts at the Hudson School of Ag, not only training the next and the future generation in the agricultural workforce, but what does that look like for hemp? What does that look like for production in our area? And Murray State University and Dr. Brandon have been on the cutting edge of that, especially in Frankfort, to make sure that we're producing and have the opportunity to be sort of that testing ground for some of those new ideas.
What's next for local and regional chambers in terms of moving the priorities forward? I imagine this meeting in Frankfort was sort of the first step here towards now you have a lot to do, I imagine, following this meeting.
We've got tons of homework, and I sent out a follow-up email to our attendees and some other folks and just saying, now we have the unpacking to do. And this is where our advocacy committee will get together, kind of review the day and see what do we excel at, what do we want to continue to push for, what do we learn new and differently. So that's the next step. It won't happen overnight by any means. We're not going to have an aha moment next week. But we have asked our attendees to tell us what they're thinking and what changed, what was indifferent, what was, you know, good, bad, and ugly, and everything in between. So it's the unpacking now. It's the follow-up. And someone told me a long time ago, follow-up is the breakfast of champions. So for us, that's where we will continue to invest our time, effort, and energy as a chamber, as an advocacy committee, but also, you know, as staff and people who love where we live. So that's the next step, and is engaging in this conversation, elevating the pieces that need elevation, or dissecting those that need more focus and more attention.
Have you had a chance to unpack a little bit?
So I think the big takeaway was there was a hunger and a need for us to go to Frankfort collectively and divide and conquer. So for our effort, we put a lot more resources around it this year. We built a schedule that was impactful, a very packed agenda as well. And the reception has been very well received in Frankfort. Both Senator Humphreys and Representative Imes said thank you numerous times to our group. We'd been there before. It's not like our group is new to Frankfort, but we had typically done the touring type of things and maybe met with a person or two. But now what we're starting to do is get involved in those conversations, not dictate anything or demand anything, but really understand and talk at a 60,000-foot level on what's going on. So that was the biggest takeaway for me, is recognizing the demand is there for it. Will there be other groups going up? Do we need to have individuals and individual conversations along the way? Yes. This is not the end-all be-all. I mean, our group going up is not the only thing that could and needs to happen. But it was a major step in showcasing to people who probably don't know where Callaway County is or Murray State, and saying, we're here, and there's a lot going on over here. So here's what we're going to share with you, and also tell us what you're doing and how you're doing it. So for us, it was a major success. Would we love to double or triple the number of people? Yes, but then you get complicated with the travel and other logistics. I will tell you, our group and any group traveling from West Kentucky 4 hours and 15 minutes gets more attention in Frankfort. It does mean something, and to cross a lot of counties and a time zone to have meetings all day and then do the same thing coming back, it resonates with people, and we'll continue to do that. We probably won't do it every week and get a little tired, but for us, it's a great way to collectively get people together and have different agendas, different topics, different focus areas, but just elevate the conversation and get it to where people are going to understand what's going on in Murray and Callaway County.
Aaron Dale Murray, Callaway County Chamber President and CEO, I appreciate your time.
Definitely. Thank you. Appreciate it.